What an amazing introduction. And I just have to say I'm honored to be here. And that the title of what I'm going to talk about is opening, how to open to receive, making room. And we'll start by how I start everything. About 2 o'clock this morning, I started to get ready, to get ready, to get ready. And then I worried, and then I started again to get ready, to get ready, to get ready. So what we'd like to do today is that Gwen has chosen a song, and I will drum with it a bit. And then I composed some flute music when I got back from Tibet, and it's called Call to Prayer. And so that will be, we'll transition into that. And I want to introduce one of the first concepts of opening to receive or making room to receive. And that is what I call the art of the emotional drive-by. So what I'd like you to do as you listen to the drumming, to the flute music, and when you join with the song, or notice those places where you begin to not be present. And I want you to just notice them. And then if you choose, you can follow where it's taking you, or you can emotionally just drive by. So we'll start with a song.
I Am Letting Go. And please join in. I am letting go.
I am letting go.
I am letting go.
I am letting God.
I am fully alive.
I am fully alive.
Spirit by my side.
Spirit by my side.
I am letting go.
I am letting go.
I am letting go.
I am letting go.
I am fully alive.
I am fully alive.
Spirit by my side.
Spirit by my side.
I am letting go.
Thank you.
ask you to be present, to come back for wherever you were, to wherever we are, and to join me in what I have to say this morning. It's been a long time since I've been, not really a long time since I've been to Unity, but every time I've come to Unity, whether it's doing a presentation or the years that I played flute for the Sunrise Bonfire on Easter morning, I've always played the flute. And I was thinking that maybe this today is my being picked up out of, falling out of the nest. I've had a lot of major health challenges, one of those that is keeps me from playing the flute now. And it will help if you kind of forgive me if I have to stand up and sit down, and if I fall over, I can get up. I practiced that yesterday. I have physical therapy. So in thinking about today, I had, of course, 900 different things that I wanted to do. And so I think I talked to several different people about what I was going to do, and it ends up I'm not going to do any of that. So we talked about making room to receive, to notice where you are, and to do the art of the emotional drive-by. I think that one of the things that really magnified for me is having the health challenges that I've had. I think I said to one person one time, I think I've set a record for how many ways I can hurt, whether it's physically or emotionally. So I started out with a stroke and am forever grateful for what didn't happen. And then about 2 years later, I was in my 90 taking the garbage out, and black ice allowed me or caused me to break my leg. And then about 5 days after that, my stomach decided to move up and try to get out of my esophagus. So I ended up in emergency surgery, and then about 10 days in the hospital and 20 days in rehab. And you'll notice my thankfulness for today, I have shoes that match, and I can be vertical and move around, and I'm very, very grateful for all of that. But very much magnified, how is it that we open to receive? How is it that we make room to receive? And how is it that we can choose to do that, not only by circumstance that squeezes, but also by simply asking for what we need? Keeping in mind that it is our responsibility to meet our needs, not somebody else's. And I have a fun story about how I learned about that and how I'm continuing to learn about that. So, big believer asking for what you could receive, or asking for what you need and or want. So, I like roses for my birthday, preferably red, preferably a dozen, preferably long stem. So I ask for them. And guess what? I get them. And I put them down on the coffee table and say, the only reason you gave me these is because I asked for them. So part of that is receiving with grace, and what I, and also the art of the resent message. And the resent message was, thank you for hearing me. Thank you for making this happen. This is exactly what I want. As opposed to, you've known me long enough that you should have known this to begin with. Or the forever that I run into, if you really, really, really loved me, you would know what I need. So the other part of that is receiving with grace. One of my mentors that I had an opportunity to study briefly with is Don Miguel, and one of the things he said was that we are our authentic self until we receive language. And then we begin to believe the stories that others tell us about who and how we are. And what I add to that is part of our adult developmental journey is to challenge the stories and to reclaim authenticity. part of my journey is I don't see very well anymore, and I obviously don't write very well either. The other way that we block is to focus on where we're going, A, rather than where we are, and or that we focus on an outcome. And so part of that is to learn that we can set intention, we can set goals, we can set a direction, but we need to let go of the outcome. All outcome has value. Some of it we like, some of it's difficult, but it all has value. And when we focus on an outcome, we limit the possibilities of what we can experience. One thing that I often talk to my clients about is the just allowing yourself to be present with what it is that you're experiencing and to lean into the discomfort to see whether there's any wisdom to learn there. And also that if we don't want to live in the museum of past hurts, what we need to do is to not beat ourselves up with our hindsight. Our hindsight is about the only major ongoing teacher we have in our life that actually that we create or that we have access to every day. And so again, that leaning into the discomfort, that being able to decide and to see when it is that we have done something that we've either been pleased with or displeased with, or if someone else has. And that leads to another art, the art of the resent message. Well, that's not what you said yesterday. Or, I can't believe you said that. You've never said that before. Or, why did you say the other thing to begin with, rather than to hearing the resent message? Lots of ways to live our life, which is our art, as Don Miguel Ruiz would say. Ah, good old conflict. One of the things that I've learned and relearned is that change can't happen with some sort of conflict. So how is it that we embrace conflict with the intent to learn why? Why it's occurring, not to win or be right. And not to be afraid. I always say, I embrace change 100% as long as everything stays the same. Because it makes me uncomfortable when things change, when I'm used to something that happens and lo and behold, either somebody else behaves differently or I decide that I'm going to change my patterns in my life and it's sort of, wow, that's uncomfortable. And again, the lean in, what's the wisdom here? We have an amazing ability to choose. Choose the things that we wish. And moving out of thinking that it is right, short of violence, that's another category, that it's right or wrong, black or white, good or bad. You said that yesterday. Why did you say that yesterday if you're not going to say that today or you want to change or that it will be different? Another path to opening to receive is being able to do good grief. And we don't talk about grief very much because it's a difficult thing, but we're all in the process of both acquiring and letting go and losing. So our ability to grieve is our ability to find another healing path. I was talking about being in the outback. I had an opportunity, we camped 3,000 miles of the outback, which I probably wouldn't do again, but it was an amazing experience. And we visited some Aboriginal village, a Pijin Jara tribe, And one of the things I learned there, well, several things. One of them was that if something happened to a tribal member, they were sent to Sari Camp. And what Sari Camp was a place where all their needs were met if they had families or if they had any responsibility in community, it was covered. And that they were allowed to be in Sari Camp for as long as they needed. And that their grief was openly acknowledged or their losses. And I often hope for us that we have an opportunity to visit Sari Camp in having compassion. Compassion for ourselves in our grief and compassion for others in their grief. Because often what happens when someone has particularly a tragic loss, they feel, people show up to begin with, and then time passes, and then people actually don't want to come and visit, because sometimes I've often thought that people think grief is like COVID. It's catching. And if I am with someone, then maybe I have to acknowledge my own grieving, or that you don't know what to say, or you're afraid you're going to say the wrong thing. And there is never a wrong thing when you offer compassion for yourself and for others. One, I have three things that I always talk about in terms of what it is that we choose to say to ourselves and to the others around us. The first one is it kind? The second one is it true? And the third one is it necessary? And that if it meets that criteria, then it's pretty well an authentic message that you can actually own and hear and share. One of the things, and where I got most of these, in case you can't tell, is from working with people I said to myself, I'd like to retire by the time I'm 55. Well, I'm 81, and I didn't quite get it done, but I enjoy so much the being honored with the people that I work with, being trusted with their lives, and the amount of wisdom that I gather from people is amazing. And one of them that I've heard a lot is, I feel left out and I feel alone. So I could go into a lot of things, but usually the first thing that I say is, can you tell me how you show belonging? And that goes back to, it is our job to get our needs. How do you show belonging if you feel left out? What is it that you need to do to invite yourself into a sense of belonging? And then I usually put a good side order of God in there, and just to remember that we are not alone, even when we feel lonely. Another Outback learning. We had this meeting, and we traveled with some elders, and they were in a car. We showed up at this place that we were going to have a meeting, and they refused to meet. And through our interpreter, we discovered that basically what they were saying is they had to wait until their spirits could catch up. And I think about how quickly we move through the world, and how it is that we get jet lagged, and how often that we drive in a car. So one of the things that I really invite people to do is that every time you get out of the car and put your feet on the ground, that you take a deep breath and arrive where it is that you are. Good practice. About three more things. Ongoing recentering, being present, is simply noticing, remembering to breathe. That's pretty important for us living, but that breathing where about every 2 hours you drop your shoulders, relax your stomach, and allow yourself to breathe into your stomach just a couple of times, recenters physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The other thing is to make a list at the end of every day of the things that made you smile, so that it invites you to notice those things that work, or those things of beauty, or those things that are simply a smile. Could be something you hear, something you see, something you get tickled about yourself in terms of what you say. But really just noticing the little and the big things. The other one is in prayer and in starting every day. One of my favorite things to do is to watch the transition into the morning. And the thought I hold every time is, please guide me. And what we often do is we forget to ask for guidance and we want answers. So again, that remembering that asking for guidance is a heart opening, a outcome letting go, and a invitation to be guided by our own actions in the world and how it is that we perceive others. And I guess the last thing would be remaining curious about why it is that things happen, about why it is that we do or say, or others do or say. Remaining curious helps us keep out of judgment, because we're always wondering. It's like entering conflict with an intent to learn why it's occurring rather than to win or be right. Remaining curious. The last thing I'd like to do is, if I can, is read to you. This is a Christmas present I got from two friends of mine. And I don't see very well, and I don't read very well, so be gentle with me. It's worth listening to. It's, what if God is joy? What if God is joy? What if the Creator is bliss and the Son is gratitude and the Holy Spirit is a gleeful wonder? What if creating is God's play and the Big Bang was an outburst of happiness and the galaxies are spun from pure delight? What if gravity that holds the universe together is simply the pleasure of harmony, and the every created thing is ecstatic desire is another? What if God's great celebration, spinning, God is celebrating as I read, spinning and dancing and making music and beauty and inviting everyone to feast and wonder? What if being itself is a miracle, that God gets endless enjoyment out of it? What if God doesn't own a throne and has never handled a gavel, but has a million musical instruments surrounding? What if God goes to hell every weekend with a load of tissue and lessons to everybody who locked themselves up there until they've cried out their sorrows and they come out laughing and dancing? What if what it means to come to God is to enter and to experience joy? What if the work of justice is to enable everyone to know true joy? What if even in our grief and our despair, the root is our being in joy? And resurrection means passing through our sorrow into God's joy. What if salvation means being rescued from our inability to rejoice? Why not? Do you think that you can convince that God is somber and serious What if even now, as you consider this and think it's kind of silly, God is laughing and waiting? Thank you for the honor of being here. Humbles me.